So it's been an interesting week. It's felt a little bit like doing the okie cokie. On, off, on, off. Shake it all about, turn it all around. And who's enjoyed it? No? No? So a few people may have enjoyed the... Yes, a few people will have enjoyed the peace. And so... have you felt at peace? What about this year, you know, just generally? You felt at peace this year? No, I know. What is peace?
Not 2020.
What is peace? Blessed assurance?
Contentment
with how you are.
Well,
where you are with life. Well, this is the definition of peace by Oxford Dictionary. Excuse me, I'm British. I decided to do that. It's very similar to the Merriam dictionary, but I decided to give you the Oxford dictionary today. The state of being calm or quiet is peace. We should all be at peace, shouldn't we? I mean, we're Christians, and certainly as we come into the Christmas season, we remember the promise of a baby that was born in a stable. Can you remember that from Isaiah 9? You'll remember it. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That is who was promised to us, the Prince of Peace. So, as Christians, we should all really be at peace, shouldn't we?
Yeah, and then there's Christmas.
Christmas and family. Yeah, that doesn't bring so much peace often. Well, it may this year, depending whether or not we can travel and we can just zoom in to the people, to our families. Well, certainly for us, we'll be zooming into the UK at some point, and but so is that how you feel, you know, as Christians, with calm and Prince of Jesus being the Prince of Peace? It's all lovely, isn't it? Jesus coming as a baby and all peaceful and lovely.
Sometimes.
But just before he said this, Jesus, just before he died, he said this to his disciples. So before he was born, we were told he was the Prince of Peace. And then just before he died, he said this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. So, Jesus has left you peace. Are you feeling all warm and fuzzy now? All calm, collected, calm and quiet, as the Oxford Dictionary tells us, and the Merriam Dictionary as well. And there isn't an Australian dictionary, is there? Let's not do that. What language is it the Australians speak? English. Oh, that's right. All right, Australian. Okay. Well, have another look at that verse from John, and it says, I do not give peace to you as the world does. So, what does the peace that Jesus gives look like? We've said what the world gives, but that's the Oxford is the world, okay? The world revolves around the UK. All right, it doesn't. But that's the definition of peace that the world says, or at least the world around Oxford. How is it different to the peace that Jesus brings? Okay, I mentioned this verse a few weeks ago, but have a look at this. This is Jesus. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Hang on a minute. Did I just read that correctly? The peace that Jesus brings, or is talking about there, looks awfully like the opposite of the peace that we would understand. It's kind of like, I give you the peace of Jesus. Here, take that. Well, isn't it? It's kind of like, take that. Is that the peace of Jesus? Oh dear. Is it possible that if you read that verse on its own, without any other context, you could come up with what peace is? It's a bit like when Peter may have got that, when he kind of like got out his sword and struck the ear off a centurion. That kind of like a peace? Is that the kind of peace that Jesus brings? So although peace is probably not the opposite of the peace, those two pieces are not, they're different pieces of the same puzzle. Oh, you lot are rubbish. Honestly, you've been in lockdown far too long. Different pieces of the... You're waiting for the joke. Are you being peaceful? Thank you. Oh, my word. All right. I'm going to have to laugh at my own jokes because you lot are rubbish this morning with that. So, I mean, to be able to work this out, those two pieces are different. Honestly, some people have been in lockdown far too long. 2 days was obviously far too long for some people. So, what is the peace that Jesus gives? Well, I suppose what we're going to need to do is just have a little look at the word peace to see how it's been translated and make sure that we've got the same kind of peace. So, in Hebrew... When I was in Israel, I learnt nothing. So in Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in, the word peace is translated shalom. Okay. And shalom means, well, it does mean peace, but it actually means a bit more than that. It means completeness, soundness, and it also means welfare as well. And it's often used when somebody makes restitution for something that they've done wrong. So there's a root word to the word shalom, and it's shalam. And shalam means to make whole or complete without any deficiency or any lack. So you can already see that there's a difference there between this restfulness that, you know, is in our understanding in the world, but actually what the kind of peace, the shalom, that Jesus is talking about bringing is a wholeness, is a completeness in there. So when in the Jewish tradition there is shalom, peace, it's not just talking about calm your farm, or it's not talking about just, you know, chill. It's talking about be restored, be fullness, be healed, be everything that you can be under God. Be complete. Let God complete you. In Greek.
Oh.
It's all Greek to me. Yes. I can speak actually any language in the world apart from Greek. It is true. Ask me anything. Any language. Australian? No, it's Greek to me. Anyway. Irene is the Greek version of peace. So according to Strong's Concordance, you see, you're getting it all today. Honestly, this is what lockdown does for you. It means, one, peace, quietness, and rest. But it also originates from the word eero, which means to join, tie together into a whole. In other words, to make complete as well. That's what the peace is. So the peace that God gives is different from the peace of the world. Biblical peace is more than just calmness, quietness, or the absence of conflict. It's actually almost a verb, in that it's the action of restoring a broken situation. So how many of you are a bit of a broken situation? I know I am at times. Well,
yeah, we know.
Always. Yeah. So the kind of peace that God brings is actually a complete restoration. That sounds a bit different from calmness, doesn't it? There is an action to it. So it's more than a state of inner tranquility. So therefore, healing is shalom, is peace. Being set free from past hurts or demonic activity is shalom, is peace. Having addictions broken is shalom. Saying sorry and offering forgiveness is shalom. Anything that brings restoration or makes a situation whole again is shalom, is peace. So when Jesus stood up and said that he was the fulfillment of the scripture in Isaiah 61, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners." He's come to bring shalom. He's come to bring peace. That's the kind of peace that God has come to bring, that Jesus, working in your lives, has come to bring you. So, what did Jesus mean when he said that he came to bring a sword and not peace? Well, to paraphrase the passage, I think he's saying that by following him and accepting the peace he brings, it is likely to cause a lack of worldly peace. Think about it. Look what happened when Jesus healed somebody. Can you think, when Jesus healed somebody, did everybody just go, "Hey, that's great, isn't it?" Great consternation. Great consternation. People were upset. Yeah. What about when he drove out demons? Well, weren't some people making money from? They weren't very happy. I think that maybe a pig herder wasn't too happy either when he lost all of his livestock. What about when he brought freedom to the woman who was about to be stoned to death? So in all of those situations, Jesus was bringing shalom. But what did it create? It wasn't shalom it created, was it? He brought peace. All of those situations, he was bringing biblical peace, bringing his peace, his shalom. But it certainly didn't bring calm or quietness, an earthly peace. Very, very different. It shows you the two sides of the peace that he was bringing. And it ended up eventually causing his own death, which was not a peaceful death. The same happened to most of his disciples as well. And actually still happens to many of his followers today. We rarely are at earthly peace on the whole in terms of our faith, in terms of our own as Christians. We have the peace that the earth understands. But it seems to me there is an automatic response of bringing God's shalom into a situation causes disruption. It causes a lack of peace around where that is happening. To the point where, I'll throw the idea out, I'm not saying it's completely black and white, but I'll throw the idea out. If we are seeing calm and quietness, are we actually bringing shalom to the world? Because when Jesus brought it, it didn't bring calmness. So are we bringing it correctly? I'll leave that with you because it could mess with your mind. It does a little bit at times. We look for peace. It says, I mean, the Bible talks about being at peace with all people where as best as you can. So it's not like we're trying to get ourselves into a situation where we're causing upset. That's not what it's talking about. But the good news of the gospel, the shalom of restoration, of seeing people's lives be truly at peace. Certain people don't like that. Governments actually don't like that. So the peace that Jesus brings is active, and I said that it's almost a verb. So what does it do? Have a look at this verse in Thessalonians. Mummy feather lisp. Oh, you don't know that one. That's a British one. I won't do that one. Ross knows it, don't you, Ross? No, all right. Okay, I won't do the lispy one. But it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's that version. But with this version, there's a couple of things that probably could be interpreted a little better. Now, this is another version, which is called the drivel version. It's the Daniel's really impressive version of excellent and learning. Okay, the drivel version. But this is what this verse actually means. May the God of peace bring entire salvation, completeness and wholeness to your spirit, to your soul, and to your body, that they may be complete and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So go back to what was written before. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. But that sanctification is salvation, okay? So his peace will actually bring salvation to your whole being, to every part of you, your body, your mind, your spirit, your soul. Every single part of you will be at peace and at complete and sanctification. Sanctification, salvation, completeness. Then may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound. And that word for sound is complete as well. That's what it means. It actually means complete. So go back to my drivel version. May the God of peace bring entire salvation to your spirit and soul and body, that they may be complete and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of peace that God wants to bring you. Not just a calmness, not just a, oh, the world can do what it likes. I'm just here going to calm. I'm sitting, listening to the music I want to listen to, with a gin and tonic in my hand, enjoying the sunshine. I'm at peace. That's not what the peace is talking about. It's your body, soul, and spirit being completely sanctified, having complete salvation at work in it. That's good stuff, isn't it? Is that good? You liking it, George? We're doing good. We're doing all right? That's good. I look over there for my seal of approval, you know. Yeah, no. No. Okay. So, as God's salvation reaches into every single part of our being, as his peace, as his shalom, into every single part of our being, it actually brings peace and restoration, first of all, to our relationship with God. That's what the word tells us. Our whole relationship with God is restored. That's what Christ came to bring. Complete and utter restoration with the relationship between God and man. But it also came to bring peace and restoration to our relationships with each other. And that's why, I've got to get it in, that's why in John 17 it says, talks about the kind of relationship that we're to have with our fellow human beings, the kind of love. So intimate. It's the same love that there is between Father and Son, is the same love that's supposed to be between us as well. But there's another area that God wants to bring peace and restoration to as well. And that's actually peace with our relationship with ourselves. And I think often that's one of the hardest ones that we do, that we have to actually tackle. We can look at a relationship with God and we can make a choice. I'm going to choose to follow God. We can do the same with somebody else. I'm going to choose to be in relationship with you. But the relationship with yourself is actually a lot harder, because you've got voices in your competing voices in your head going, you're not worthy. You did that. Nobody knows what you're really like. All these things coming into your mind that affect you. They certainly affect me when the things that go on in my head. Well, they do. I've said it before, but I have to be really careful to listen to myself, because I tell myself lies all the time, particularly about myself. I lie constantly to myself, because when I say a lie, it's not God's truth about me. It's my, well, I'm not worthy, I can't do that. I've done it again, I've messed up. I hurt that person. They don't know what I'm thinking. All of those things that come into my mind. Even that relationship with ourself, God wants to bring shalom and peace to as well. And he can and he will. So how does it happen? How do you get that? Well, you know, peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So it's simple. It really is that simple. If you let the Spirit of God loose into your life and you trust him when he brings things to your attention and you really open yourself up to the searching of the Holy Spirit, then one of the things that God promises is peace. And that kind of peace that I've been talking about. Not that peace, peace. But that peace between God and us. Between us and other people. And also between ourselves and ourselves as well. The fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. It really, really is as simple as asking the God of peace to come and bring peace into your life as you let the Spirit of God at work in your life. It's not rocket science, it's not a hard one. It is just being obedient. We're told, blessed are the peacemakers. What God is saying in that is not about blessed are the people who just come, calm everybody, peace, calm, gentleness, a bit of music, everybody shut their eyes, are you feeling peace? No? I'm sorry, I forgot, I'm not allowed to dance. That was a Baptist dance. What we're talking about here, blessed are the peacemakers, is blessed are those who bring salvation, bring wholeness, who bring completeness into every situation they go into. That's what it's talking about. As Jesus did, healing the brokenhearted, visiting those who are ill and sick, praying for them, caring for them. That's the God that we serve. That's what he modeled. And that's how we bring peace to people, by helping there be completeness and peace in their lives. Now I'm going to ask you actually to be at peace for 3 minutes and 50 seconds, because I want to play you a song. But use the song, listen to it, let God's peace wash over you, and then I'll pray for you at the end of this. Lord, I thank you for your peace, which is hard for the world to understand. Lord, I thank you that you come to bring completeness to our mind, to our bodies, to our souls, to our whole being. Lord, I pray that each one of us today would know truthfully and truly your peace. Not just that calmness that the world brings, but Lord, that wholeness, the only restoration that you bring, that your Spirit brings us, can bring. Lord, I pray that we would be open to the work of your Spirit in our lives and allow the fruit of peace to shine strong in our lives. And Lord, I do also pray that we would learn the difference in our ministry, Lord, and not be afraid of the lack of peace that there can be when we're bringing your peace to the world. Lord, help us to navigate that as a congregation. I ask in your name. Amen. So, church, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.